And I want to welcome all of our visitors today. We appreciate you coming to be with us, and I hope you'll just feel at home with us today. And somebody was talking about Thanksgiving, and that's going to be here before you know it. This month is getting gone quick. And but I want to read this morning out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I'm just going to read two verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And you pray with us today. If you're a Bible reader, you know the subject of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 is talking about what we refer to as the rapture, or the coming of the Lord in the clouds to receive His own unto Himself. You know, there's a lot of ways that we refer to it. But I want to read just verse number 51 and verse number 52, and you pray with us today that the Lord would speak to our hearts and that He would have His way. I'm very thankful for the good service last Sunday, and I just pray that the Lord would speak to hearts today as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51 and 52, the Bible says this: "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your blessings that You've given to us, and Lord, the opportunity to be in Thy house today, and Lord, You know what's on my heart today. I really pray for Your help. I pray, God, that You'd give liberty and freedom of thought. I pray, Lord, that You would bind the devil, that he'd not be able to hinder in the service today. I pray that You'd speak to hearts. I pray for unction and, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit and just freedom of thought. But, Lord, most of all, that, God, You would use Your word today to speak to our hearts about this great Bible subject, Lord, that we call our blessed hope, and we ought to look for, Lord. I noticed this morning that a lot of our songs were even about the coming of the Lord, and so, Father, I pray that You'd help today. I pray You'd speak to hearts, give us the right spirit and liberty to preach in, and we'll thank You for all that You do and all You're going to do, and I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, and amen. You know, I've heard for many years that in the New Testament, one out of every 25 verses in the New Testament in some way or another refers to the coming of the Lord, and I've never counted that out, and I don't know who did the first time, but surely if you know anything about the Bible, you know especially in the New Testament, there's a great deal of it concerns the coming of the Lord. And this is something that ought to be interesting to all of us, and surely every young Christian, when they learn about, or when they get saved and they begin to learn about what the Bible says about the future, they become interested in the coming of the Lord, the book of Revelation. I remember Kim and I, when we were young and young Christians at that time, but I spent 3 years, we both spent 3 years in the country of England from 1988 to 1991, and I was in the Air Force. We lived over there. We were involved in and members of the Faith Baptist Church over there, and during that time frame, 1988 to 1991, there was a lot of significant world events that were taking place. I remember being over there when the Berlin Wall fell in 1989. Some of you may even remember President Reagan talking about it, and there's a famous line where he says, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." And you know, you may remember pictures on TV and them talking about the communism falling and the wall falling, all the significance of that. We were there when that was taking place, and there was a lot of talk about the European Union, or what we know today as the European Union, those Eastern Bloc countries and Western Bloc countries coming together and joining together. And of course, we know today that that has become a reality. There was a lot of talk, and if you are familiar with Bible terminology and what the Bible says about prophecy, you know that's referred to as the revival of the ancient Roman Empire. And those countries coming together again, and it talks about that. And the Bible prophesies that that would take place in the book of Daniel. And also another thing that was happening during that time was talking about a common currency in Europe. I was talking to a missionary a while back, and he was talking about the problem of living in the country of Italy and getting their support in euros. Well, when I lived in Europe, all the European countries at that time, they all had their own currency. If you went from France to Belgium, or from Belgium to Germany, or Germany to Holland, or Holland to England, every time you went into a new country, you had to go somewhere to a bank or a person that would exchange your money, and you'd have to get francs for marks or marks for pounds, or, you know, that in all them countries. And so there was a lot of talk about doing away, all the nations over there doing away with their currency and just having one currency. And of course, that has come to pass today. When you go to Europe now, you don't have to bother with all that. If you're going to Germany, you just get euros. And of course, this is in the news every day because those countries over there are having problems with their economy. And so there was the beginnings of a lot of these things. And our preacher over there, he preached so much on the Lord coming back and the rapture of the church that honestly, Kim and I, we never thought that we'd ever get to come home in January of 1991. That was when I was scheduled to come back. We had a 3-year tour, and the preacher preached on the coming of the Lord all the time. And I remember us having the conversation, you know, that we'd never see America again. We were sure that the Lord was going to come. We were in a great church, and people were getting saved just about all the time, and there was a lot of men surrendered to preach and go to the mission field, and it was just an exciting time to serve the Lord. And a lot of times on Sunday nights or through the week, we'd get together with our Christian friends and we'd talk about the rapture. A lot of our conversations were about the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. That actually had a very profound influence on my wife coming to know the Lord. She got saved over there. She was a lost church member. She was a teacher of the little 2- and 3-year-old, but she had never been saved. And she testified after that, that when we get together and talk about the rapture taking place, she said that bothered her, that bothered her. There was a gnawing conviction in her heart that if the Lord should come, she knew she'd be left behind, and that began to bother her and convict her. And the fact or the thought that the Lord was going to come, that the redeemed of God is going to be taken away from this world, and there would be those that would be left behind. And I'll tell you, she used to bother me about driving too fast. But on the day that she got saved, I think I could have been driving 100 miles an hour because she waited to get to church to get saved. I don't know why she waited to get to church. A lot of people do that. But I'll tell you, she was very anxious to get to church on the day that she got saved. But that talking about the rapture, that stirred her, and the Holy Spirit used that to convict her that she wasn't really a child of God. And I remember talking about and thinking about, what will it be like when the rapture takes place? Or having the conversation, what would it be like for those to be left behind? That's what I want to preach on this morning. I want us to imagine together and think together about what it will be like to be left behind. And I want to preach on this subject just simply the thought, today is the day. You know, one day is going to be the day that the Lord comes in the rapture. But what if today were the day that the Lord would come? And I want you to imagine with me, you know, it's all right to use your imagination and to think about what the Word of God is teaching us and to apply that to our hearts and lives. Have you ever wondered about that in your Christian life? You know, what is it going to be like on the day that the rapture takes place in the world. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning with the help of the Lord. And let me just start out today by saying this. If the rapture were to happen today, I'm talking about today, is going to be a day of surprise. Today is going to be a day of surprise. Now, I believe with all my heart that on the day that the rapture takes place, it's going to be a normal day. It's going to start out a normal day, just like every other day. You know, we get used to that, what we call normal in our lives, and we have routines. And on the day that the rapture takes place, people are going to get out of the bed. The alarm clock is going to go off. And you know, here's the thing. We talk about what's going to happen. Do you know that this is going to be an event that is going to happen simultaneously at the same time in every area of the world? Some places it's going to be lunchtime. Some places it's going to be breakfast. Some places it's going to be in the middle of the night. But no matter where people are on the globe, when it happens, it's going to be for them. It's going to start out to be a normal day. We'll say if today was the day, that it would be a day where people would get out of the bed, they'd set their coffee and start reading the newspaper or whatever they do on Sunday mornings. They'd get dressed, some of them would go to church. A lot of people, not everybody for sure, goes to church. Some people would lay around in their pajamas. Some people would go out and eat breakfast or go shopping or get ready to watch football or just stay in and laze around or maybe go somewhere to visit somebody. It'll just start out. It's going to be a normal day. You know, some of you might remember a few years ago in December of 2004, Christmas happened, and it was just a normal Christmas for most people. You know, nothing outrageous was going on in the world, and Christmas, December 2004, was just a normal day. But on the next day over in Asia, what the Europeans call Boxing Day, and a lot of Americans, they call it a day just to go out and shop or lay around or whatever they do. But over in Thailand, around that area of the world, you might remember that there was an earthquake took place on the day after Christmas, 2004. And it took place right off the west coast of Sumatra. Local time, if I remember correctly, was about 8 o'clock in the morning. A lot of Europeans are vacationing in places like Thailand, and a lot of people live on the coast around that area of the world. And if you'd have been vacationing off the coast of Thailand, some places didn't even realize exactly what had taken place. But one thing I was reading about that earthquake is that off the coast of Thailand, that morning, right after that earthquake began to happen, and that earthquake was hundreds and hundreds of miles away, but the ocean began to recede for about 100 yards. Now, their vacation that they were having and their normal day after Christmas, a lot of people were down there laying in the sun and, you know, walking on the beach. And, you know, that was not normal. Started out a normal day, but it quickly began to be not a normal day. If you were down at the coast and the ocean just all of a sudden started receding and going back, and it wasn't the tide going out, and for 100 yards the ocean recedes, you know what? Let me tell you, if you're ever down there and that happens, you better get away from the ocean. But you know, some of them didn't even know what was happening. Some of them probably thought, well, I've never been here before. Maybe this is normal. But do you know, within a couple of hours on that day after Christmas, December the 26th, 2004, do you know, within a couple of hours after that earthquake took place, over 200,000 people had lost their lives in the resulting tsunami that washed, and it hit India, it hit Thailand, and many, many people were swept into eternity on what began as a normal day. Do you know, life-changing, world-changing events usually begin on just a normal day? How many remembers when 9/11 happened? I know not everybody, maybe some of the young people don't remember. Do you remember everybody, just like when I was growing up, they used to say, well, everybody remembers where they were when Kennedy got shot. Well, I was too young for that. I remember where I was when the space shuttle fell out of the sky. I remember what I was doing when 9/11 took place. You know, it started out, it was just a normal day. By the end of that day, thousands of people had lost their lives. Earth-shattering, world-shattering events always start out as just a normal day. You remember waking up, was it early 2010, to hear about that earthquake in Haiti and all of those thousands of people that lost their lives? And then a little later on that year, or last year, you remember there was an earthquake in Japan and then a tsunami that happened after that. Those people, I read a missionary account of a church that was having a missions conference when that earthquake happened. And it said that, you know, they were in church and having church and the earthquake came and they ran out of the building waiting to see what was going to happen. Nothing happened except the lights went off. They went on and they carried on for a day, maybe even 36 hours. They didn't know nothing about all of that destruction and death for hours and hours. It started out a normal day. And I'll tell you, if the rapture took place today, this morning, November 13th, 2011, it would be a day of surprise. You know what? The biggest surprise this world has ever seen is still yet to come. Look in your Bibles in Matthew chapter number 24. We're going to turn some different places today. And I know for you Bible scholars out there that there's a difference between the revelation and the rapture. And I'm not going to get all in that today, but I'm just going to read some verses today to point out some principles about the surprise that's going to take place. You know, Mark 13:32 says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." Nobody knows when this day is going to come. You know, this past year, that fella, Harold Camping, he said that the rapture is going to take place on May 21st. And when he missed that, he said it's going to take place on October 21st. And I'm not a date setter or anything like that, but I knew there's 2 days this year that the Lord wouldn't come on. Because the Bible says, no man knows. But he is coming. When he comes, people are going to be very surprised on that day. If the rapture happened today, most people would be totally caught off guard. It would start off a normal day, but oh, how surprised that they would be. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse 36, it says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." There's only one. God's got a calendar, and it's hid close to his breast. And he's not shown anybody when that day's going to be, but it's on his calendar. And it goes on, and it says, here's something that it's like. The coming of the Lord's going to be like, it said in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." When God sent the flood upon the world, do you know what they were doing? They were just carrying on like nothing was getting ready to happen. You know, that's exactly where we are today. People are carrying on. They're going about their business. They're living their normal lives. They're not thinking about things of eternity. And it went on and on and on like that until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And look, verse 39. "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You know, if you know anything about Noah and the flood over there, you know that Noah worked on the ark for 100 years. And it took 100 years to build what he built. It was huge. The world never seen another sailing vessel of that size until the 1800s. It took man almost 6,000 years to rival what Noah built. Noah built that ark to God's specifications. It took him 100 years, and the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter, or 2 Peter over there, it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You know what Noah did every time that hammer hit a nail or a peg to drive that thing together? Every time he sawed a saw on a board, he was preaching that the judgment of God was going to come. And some people believed Noah and some people didn't. I believe it all of them that did believe died before the flood came, except Noah and his three sons and all their wives. But anyway, Noah preached for 100 years, God's going to judge this world. And he's going to send a flood, and it's going to rain. You know that to be real hard for those people to believe in rain. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible tells us over there that when God created this world, it did not rain at that time. But the Bible says that the Lord sent up a mist from the earth to water the ground. There was no rainy days before the flood came. There was no flash flood. There was no rain in the forecast. But Noah went and he preached and he said, God's going to send a flood and it's going to rain. And people laughed and mocked. Noah worked right on and right on. And I could hear him talking about Noah over there. That old man's crazy. He's building some kind of, we don't know. He calls it an ark. He says God's going to judge the world. He's going to put animals in that ark. And he says it's going to rain. What is that anyway? That's how it went on. For 100 years. Noah preached that the judgment of God was going to come, and no doubt they laughed at him. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that one day God told Noah, he said, Noah, get in the ark. And Noah and all the animals got in the ark over there. If you read in Genesis chapter number 7, the word of God says, the Lord shut the door. And 7 more days went by. I've thought a lot about that. 7 more days. I guess those are the days that they mocked and made fun the most. You know, did you hear about Noah? Now he's in the ark and got the door shut with all them animals. Whew, what a nut. What a nut. Can you believe that? What was that? What was that? The Bible said the heavens opened up. And underneath opened up. And for 40 days and 40 nights. But I'll tell you, it didn't take 40 days and 40 nights for God to flood the world. But I'll tell you what, when them first drops begin to fall on that world that had rejected God, do you know what? You know what? Surprise. But they shouldn't have been surprised. And you know, this world shouldn't be surprised today, but I'll tell you, if the rapture happened today, it's going to be a day of surprise. Second of all, this morning I want to say, if the rapture happened today, today is going to be a day of screaming. Today's going to be a day of screaming. If the rapture happened today, I'm talking about right now today, it's going to be a day of screaming. Now, look in Matthew 24, and we'll read on down verse number 40. And then again, I know there's a difference between the revelation and the rapture, but this is what's going to happen when the Lord comes in the rapture. Verse 41, the Bible said, then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. You see what that's describing there? It's what is also going to take place when the rapture takes place. There's going to be a snatching away. There are going to be those who are saved by the grace of God. In fact, if you wanted to underline the word taken there, That's what's going to happen in the rapture. I read our verses this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Those that are saved by the grace of God are going to be taken from this world, and it's going to be a day of screaming. I was thinking about that this week and studying about. The Lord laid this on my heart early in the week, and I've been thinking about it all week long. And I was over in town, and I was sitting there at the red light, and I was just thinking in my mind, now what if the rapture happened right now? Right now. And I'm sitting there at the red light, and I barely got my foot on the brake, and I'm right behind a guy in a truck, and he's talking on his cell phone. I thought to myself, if the rapture happened right now, all that would happen right there is that my car would just gently have rolled into his truck. And I can imagine if that man didn't go in the rapture, what would happen in his life. I could just see him up there. He's on his cell phone. And I'm sure that he sitting at that red light would say, I've got to go. Some idiot just run into me. He'd put on his brakes. He'd open his door up. He'd go around and he's aggravated, no doubt. And he'd get back to my car and there he'd come up to my car. And there wouldn't be nobody in that car. All that'd be in that car would be the clothes that I'd been wearing. I believe that's how it's going to take place. And just like the body had disappeared out of the clothes, that's all that man would see. And you know what? No doubt in my mind there'd be other people around going through their own little scenario. You don't think they's going to be screaming on that day? There's going to be all kinds of screaming. And I'll tell you what, right now the world is practicing for what they're going to be screaming on that day. But it's not going to be cute. Do you know what people's going to be screaming? Oh my God. Oh my God. And I'll tell you, that's going to be repeated. Little scenarios and scenes like that all around the world. Today is going to be a day of screaming. Can you imagine being in an elevator? You know how it is sometimes. You go somewhere and six people get on that elevator, and before that thing gets to the floor and stops, there's going to be three people on the elevator. It's going to be a day of screaming. You know, there's nowhere to go if somebody leaves off of an elevator. It's going to be a day of screaming. There's going to be people that are traveling in airplanes and buses and trains and things like that. And people are going to they're going to disappear. If it happened today, many places in America, about the whole church, no doubt, be gone. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. In other churches, a few might be gone. You know what's sad? In a lot of churches, some, they won't even stop the service. They won't even know till they dismiss and go out. And you say, preacher, you really believe that? Sure I do. There's a lot of religious people that are going through the motions that don't even believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for them and shed his blood. They don't believe that. They go to church. The Bible said, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's where we are. Mamas are going to be screaming for their babies. Husbands are going to be looking for their wives and for their children. Children that are old enough to know that they ought to be saved and they're not. They're going to be looking for their parents. They'll be calling to check and see where grandma or grandpa is, wherever it is in the world that saved and unsaved people live together. There's going to be screaming takes place on that day. Oh my, what's happened? What's happened? What's going on? There'll be somebody somewhere in a hospital and maybe there's a young intern or nurse in there and she's caring for her patient and all of a sudden her patient is gone. I mean, he was there and now he's gone. And she'll run out into the hallway and she'll grab one of them older nurses by the arm and she'll say, he's gone, he's gone. And she'll say, now you just got to get a hold of yourself. It's going to happen, dear. We can't get everybody better. Not everybody's going to go home and she's going to say, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying he died, I'm saying he's gone. And they'll go in there in that hospital room and there'll be a gown and there'll be cords and there'll be tubes and there'll be all these things, but there'll not be a patient there. There'll be nurses and there'll be interns running up and down the halls of the old folks' home looking to find out what happened to some of their patients. I'm telling you, there's going to be a day of screaming. There'll be people going to the funeral home. They'll be walking by the casket. And that body is in that casket just a minute ago, won't be there. It's going to be a day of screaming. It's going to be a day of people throwing their hands in the air and weeping and lamenting. There's a good picture over in Jeremiah 31 and verse number 15. And this is not talking about the rapture, but it's talking about when the Lord Jesus was born. And they start killing all them babies trying to kill our Lord. The Bible said over there in Jeremiah 31 and 15, thus saith the Lord. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. When they come through and they killed all them babies, the Word of God said they were weeping and lamenting and crying because they were not. You know, that's exactly what the Word of God says about the first man that ever was raptured from this old world. You know who that was? That was Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I've often wondered what Enoch's wife thought about that. He was here, but now he's gone. And that's how it's going to be when the rapture of the church takes place. It's going to be a day of surprise. It's going to be a day of screaming. Today will also be a day of searching as well. Look in your Bibles in 2 Kings chapter number 2. I want to show you something over there. You know, this thing of people leaving this world and going to heaven, do you know it's not the first time it's ever happened? God took Enoch. God took the prophet Elijah to heaven without him dying. 2 Kings chapter number 2. I was studying about this week and just the events surrounding his being taken up into heaven. And I think there's something very interesting over there that we can learn about what's going to happen when the rapture takes place. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter number 2 and verse number 11, it said, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Praise the Lord, that'd have been a sight to see. Elijah went to heaven without dying. God took him on a chariot of fire. And they knew that's what had happened to Elijah. Elisha was right there and witnessed the whole thing. But there were some prophets that weren't down there with them. But they, if you read the whole story, you'll find out they had been telling them fellas, they all knew that today Elijah was going to be taken away. They knew that. They had told Elisha. They said, no, you know, today your master is going to be taken away. They knew it. Remember, Elisha had asked for a double portion, and Elijah said, you asked for a hard thing and all of those things. But I say that to say this, they knew what had happened to Elijah. But look on down in verse 16. These other men came by. Verse 16 said, these are prophets. These are God's men. These are preachers. And it said, and they said unto him, talking to Elisha, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not sin. Elisha said, there's no reason to go look for him. He's not here. I saw the Lord. I saw him go. You're never going to find him. Why are you going to go look for him? Verse 17 said, and when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And I thought about this. If they went and looked for Elijah, knowing on the testimony of Elisha that they weren't going to find him, but they went and looked for 3 days. What do you think people in this world's going to do when the rapture takes place? You know what they're going to do? They're going to do what they do every time a little child disappears on an Amber Alert. They're going to do what they do every time an earthquake happens and people are missing. They're going to do what they do every time a hurricane comes. They're going to do what they do every time a tornado comes through. They're going to go look against hope. They're going to look and they're going to search and they're going to search. You know what? That's human nature. That's all we know what to do. And I promise you, they'll be searching and searching. Immediately, what will happen, I don't know about other areas of the country, but I'll tell you, in this country, 911 system, that's all good. Call the emergency number if you got an emergency. But I'll tell you what, the system will not be able to handle all the calls. That's the first thing that'll happen. Phone lines freeze up. Jam the system. Computers can only handle so much. Phone lines can only handle so much. But I'll tell you, the calls that go through, they're going to start looking. Some little mama's going to call and she's going to say, we're on vacation. We don't know nobody down here. But I'll tell you, I got up this morning and my husband and my baby, they're gone. And I don't know what's happened to them. You've got to come and help me. And they'll say, ma'am, we've got about all we can handle right now. But we'll be there just as soon as we can. And I'm telling you what people's going to do. They're going to go to looking. They're going to go to looking. They're going to go to riding the roads. They're going to go calling people. They're going to start going to people's house. And I'm telling you, if the rapture happened today, it wouldn't take long. Somebody'd walk through them doors. People are going to come to church. It's going to be too late. If the rapture happened today, it wouldn't be long. Somebody'd come through them doors back there. And I'm telling you what they'd do when they come through them doors. Let's say everybody in here is saved and going to heaven. What they'd do, they'd go to walking down these aisles and they'd go to looking. There wouldn't be nobody. There'd be Bibles laying on the floor. There'd be glasses laying on the floor. There'd be shoes on the floor. There'd be Bibles on pews. There'd be clothes. There'd be all kinds of evidence that there was somebody here. But I'll tell you, they could go, hello! And there ain't going to be nobody here. And they'll go opening doors and looking in the baptistry. And they'll go downstairs and they'll go looking through the rooms. And they'll look in the closets. And they'll walk out the doors. And they'll walk around the church. And they'll go around the fellowship hall and look off in the holler and get in the front parking lot and look all over the hills. And they'll search and they'll search. And these people all over this world will go looking and looking and looking. And you know what? They'll find people. They'll find people that's been involved in accidents. They'll find people that have been, in all the chaos that's going to ensue. They'll find somebody that they was looking for and just didn't know what where they were, something like that. But I'll tell you, they'll not find one of God's redeemed ones nowhere. And anybody that they do find, they'll say, where was you at? And they'll say, well, I was pinned in a car. Well, they thought I was supposed to be at the mall, but really I was at Walmart, and I just didn't tell nobody, and I never was gone to begin with. But they'll not find one of God's redeemed youngins. The Bible says we'll all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And just like they went and looked for Elijah, they'll go and look for people, but they'll not find them. You know, 1 second after the rapture of the church takes place, there'll not be one saved person in this world. Every one of God's children is going to be gone in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, quicker than an eye blink here today, gone in the next moment, and they'll never find them. And you know what? I'm speculating right here, but I'm thinking they'll probably look about 3 days till they get communication set back up and things begin to get sorted out. And after about 3 days, nobody in the whole wide world finds one missing person. I'm telling you, they won't look right on and on and on. But at first, it's going to be a day of searching. Then right after that, I mean right on the heels of the rapture taking place, today's going to be a day when seduction begins to take place. Look in your Bibles in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I want to show you just a few things over there before moving on this morning. It's going to be a day of seduction. Deception is going to take place in the world. I'll give you just a moment to turn over there. It's going to be a day of surprise. It's going to be a day of screaming. It's going to be a day of searching. But it's going to be a day of seduction. When the rapture takes place, there'll be no more church, no true church. There'll still be church members. There'll still be churches sitting around all over the place, but there'll be no true church. Do you know this morning, the church is not the building. Church is the people that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There'll be no church. There'll be no Christian. There'll be no salt. There'll be no light. There'll be no Holy Spirit in this world when the rapture takes place. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10, the Bible says this, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish," this is talking about the coming of the Lord, "because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." Do you know how easily people are already deceived? People will believe anything. People in this day and time, they are so pitiful. They are led about by everything that comes across the news. They believe anything under the sun. People want to believe lies. That's where we're at. Do you know these Occupy Wall Street protesters that's protesting in cities and countries all around the world? You know what they're doing? They are begging for the Antichrist to come. They're not praying that God would answer our prayers. They're not praying that we would turn again unto the Lord and repent of our sins and that He would save us and revive us. All these people in the world today, they're begging for the devil to come. And when he comes, they're going to be glad. We live in a day and a time. People can't see the... Well, Brother Greg said the other night, talking about the forest for the trees, I'll tell you, it is, if you do not have the Word of God as your map and guide in this life, it ain't no wonder people are so deceived. You can pick up the newspaper, and on one page it says, the recession is just about over. We're gaining in jobs. Things are looking brighter. And you turn the other page and it says that the European Union is about to break all to pieces, that there ain't no way out of this mathematically, and it's going to affect the whole world. People just read through and get what they want out of it. Very few people read it with, you know what, this is just what the Word of God says is going to take place. The Bible says that there's going to be distress of nations, which means the nations are going to throw up their hands and say, we don't know what to do. 2 weeks ago, the European Union said, we've got a cork, we've plugged that hole. It's going to be all right. Before the week was out, there's cracks and busts in the whole thing. It's all going to fall all to pieces. They cannot find an answer because there's not one. This world is begging for the Antichrist to come. When he comes, they're going to be glad that he does. They're going to be glad that somebody comes on the scene and has the answer to the economy and has the answer to violence and has the answer to Israel and has the answer to why all them people got gone. And he'll have one. He'll have an answer and people will believe what he says. Very soon after the rapture, I believe within hours of the rapture taking place, I believe that what will happen will be what we read in verses 6, 7, and 8 right there. Let me just point out what happens in verse 6, 7, and 8 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, number 1, in verse number 6. The hinderer is going to be removed. It says, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And I don't have time to explain all what that is, but if you study it out, what is withholding in the world right now is the Holy Spirit of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit of God in the world. I'm telling you, that's why the devil's still on a short leash. He can't do just anything he wants to do. Because the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in the world, who is present through His church, through His body. One of these days, that hinderer is going to be removed. And then you've heard the phrase about all hell breaking loose. And I mean that from a scriptural standpoint. That is exactly what's going to happen in this world. The hinderer is going to be removed. Verse number 7 talks about that. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he knew how letteth will let. It's talking about the one that's hindering will hinder until he be taken out of the way. That's until the rapture. Then verse 8 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Now, I believe it just within hours. The rapture of the church, if it took place today, I believe this with all my heart. I believe the Antichrist is alive and well. I believe he's somewhere upon this earth. But he just can't make himself known yet because the Holy Spirit of God is still here. But as soon as that Holy Spirit of God is gone out of this world, he's been waiting a long, long time. There's somebody going to step up and say, I tell you, just calm down. It's going to be all right. I know you think this is a rapture and I know you think it's a judgment of God, but don't worry about all that. Things are going to really look up now. Then, the Bible says, then shall that wicked be revealed. Now, you say, preacher, how could that be? There's still going to be people in the world that knows that the rapture took place. They know they've missed the boat. And what about them? Look in verse 11. It said, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Do you know what's also going to immediately happen when the Antichrist steps upon the scene? Now you've got to remember this morning, no Holy Spirit, no Christian witness anywhere in the world. This is talking about a group of people that have rejected the truth, had pleasure in unrighteousness. The Bible says God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And it doesn't matter what the lie is now. If you study this out, you study the New Age movement, they have already got an answer to the rapture in place. They teach that this world cannot have a gigantic leap forward as long as there are those here that are in the Black Lodge. You know who the Black Lodge is? That's me. Praise the Lord. That's why I wore a black suit. According to them, I'm in the Black Lodge. I'm a hinder in this world moving forward into the new age because I'm narrow-minded. And I believe there's one way to heaven, and that's hindering. And they teach, you don't believe what I'm saying, go look it up on the internet. You'll find what I'm saying is true. They're teaching that what's going to happen, there's going to be an alien invasion. And those who are hindering are going to be taken away. They're going to be re-educated. And they'll meet up with them later. Well, I'm telling you, they got part of it right. There's going to be a part taken away. We're going to meet up later, but it's not like they think. That's what they're teaching. Doesn't matter what the lie is. It's the judgment of God to believe whatever it is. If the Antichrist stood up and said Mickey Mouse is God, they'd believe it. It's part of the judgment of God. You don't believe God's word, you'll get God's judgment. It's what we read in the Word of God. And so there's going to be, if you read and study this out, there's going to be no such thing as, oh, I missed the rapture, I need to be saved. If you have heard the truth and you miss the rapture, you're going to hell. If you've heard the truth and rejected the truth of the Word of God according to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, you're going to hell. And you got to go through the tribulation to get there. The Bible says that God will send a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. It said in verse 12 that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You say, preacher, could that really happen in the world? Sure it could. People are deceived. Those of you that's studying in the class that I'm teaching on Thursday night, it's amazing what people believe. What I was talking about, that new age, what they're teaching. I've got a friend I went to high school with. She posted something on Facebook a while back. It read right out of that cult book. I'm telling you, people are messed up. They think that they're a god or a goddess within themselves. I mean, you reject the truth of God, you'll believe anything. You'll believe anything. It's going to be a day of seduction. I've got to move on and close this morning. I'm almost done. Just bear with me. Finally this morning, number 5. From today, this day is going to come soon. It's going to be a day of all of those things. And of course, we're still here. The rapture's not happened today. But I'm saying from today, I believe and I hope and I pray that this day I've been preaching on, I believe it's going to come soon. You know, we have heard. Here's part of our problem. We've heard and we've heard and we've heard all of our lives. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. This thing's falling into place and we've heard it so much. We're used to it. It don't stir us. It don't thrill us. It doesn't do much for us. And you know what I say this morning? That's pretty good evidence that it's going to come soon. It's a surprise. Bible said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. People are not looking now. You know this camping fellow that I mentioned that said the rapture is going to happen May 21st, October 21st, and it didn't happen? You know that serves the devil real good, because it makes Christians leery of talking about the rapture. If I talk about the rapture at work, they're going to think I'm one of them crazy people that said the Lord was going to come and He didn't. And I don't want to, you know, I want to be witness to them and all like that. And so now there's less talk and less talk and less talk. Therefore, people are less ready. I found a verse a while back over in Psalms chapter number 74. I'd never found it before. Never read it, or I'd read it before, but I'd never really noticed it before. But this thing is ridiculed, mocked by the world of the rapture. There's a sleepy self-denial in the church, a lack of interest, a lack of urgency, unconcerned for souls. Leonard Ravenhill, he's got a chapter in one of his books that says the church sleeps while the world goes to hell. Psalm 74:9 just says this, and I might preach on it sometime, but it says this: we see not our signs. That's where we are. We see not our signs. Everywhere I look today, there's signs, signs, signs of the coming of the Lord. I was listening to the radio yesterday morning. I was going to town, and I just flipped on the channel, and I couldn't tell if it was a Christian commentary or a worldly commentary. They were talking about the nations in Europe coming together, and people don't pay no attention. That's right out of the Bible. That's right out of the Bible. Come to find out, it's on WATA. Just some economists talking about what was happening in the world. Right out of the Bible. Pick up the newspaper any day of the week, I guarantee you, find 10 things right out of the Bible. Right out of the Bible. The churches ought to be full. Church ought to be full, but people are not interested. People are going about just like in the days of Noah and just like in the days of Lot, marrying and giving in marriage and going here and going there and not paying no attention to it. The church ought to be full. Oh, how we need to have revival in this day and time. That we might have some power upon our lives where we speak what the Word of God says. That there will be some convicting power. There might be some people still in this day and time. It'll be like my wife was. Get to thinking about the Lord coming and knowing her heart, I'm not ready. If the rapture happened, I'd be left behind. What about it this morning? If the rapture happened, where would you be? You know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, and I didn't even turn over there this morning, but that's one of the most the main verses in the Bible that talks about the rapture of the church. And we read it when we go out to the graveside to bury one of our saved loved ones. And the last verse there says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's comforting. Boy, I hope the Lord comes soon. If not, you talk about a mess. It's messier and messier every day. It's comfort to us. But what about them? What about them neighbors and them relatives and them people that you work with? It's going to be searching and screaming and seduced by the lie of the Antichrist and all those. If preaching on hell and the coming of the Lord and prayer and revival and things like that, if that don't get us stirred up, I don't know that we can be stirred up. Boy, we need a revival. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. And I'll tell you the good news this morning is that the Word of God says, behold, now is the day of salvation. You know what? The rapture hasn't happened yet. And you and I are still here and we're still breathing. And that means if you're not saved by the grace of God and you don't know in your heart if you died what would happen to you, or if the rapture was to happen, if you'd go to be with the Lord in the air, if you don't know those things, you can know that you're saved by the grace of God. Jesus is still saving souls. He's still calling. He's still convicting here and there. I'd love to see more, but it's not too late for you today. But you're going to have to move. You're going to have to say yes to Him. You're going to have to come on His terms and His alone. And the Word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Being saved is easy. It's easier for a child than it is for an adult. But I beg you today, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. But that's all I can do for you is tell you. You're the one that's got to decide in your heart and accept Him by faith. And I'll tell you, I hope and pray the message today would stir our hearts to tell our loved ones and our neighbors and our friends they better be getting right and thinking about these things, and praying for them and loving them. Let's have our heads.